Alfred real quick as well. One of the things that obviously just as a service provider, agencies come to you, DOD agencies come to you, and maybe even non-DOD agencies come to you maybe a little bit to ask about using data centers. So let's start there. First, are you getting some non-DOD agencies using the DISADEX?
So we have some customers coming from outside DOD that have a relevancy with the Department of Defense. So we share information, we share key functionality. Folks like FEMA, DHS, I do host some of their applications. So if there's a specific relevancy in terms of information sharing, specifically supporting, you know, mission critical applications, mission critical events like the Global War on Terror, we do host those applications. So yes.
Oh, I was going to say, is it only a certain set of applications you're hosting? Meaning it's not, like DHS, for example, mm-hmm. they talk a lot about their two data centers that they have, mm-hmm. one in Stennis, I think, and there's another somewhere else. But this is separate from that because
yes,
this is specific applications.
Specific applications supporting DOD missions and all
okay.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we're also supporting, you know, as part of the initiatives by both the Secretary of VA and Secretary of Defense, we are in partnership with the VA in how we capitalize on, as they move forward with an integrated electronic health system, how we can move some of that functionality into MyDEX, supporting both that integrated EHR system that's being planned for the future.
And I think if you're going to talk about a huge benefit of consolidation, I think you can look at this integrated health record system that DOD and VA are putting together, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but the ability to have a standard place where the information's going to live
right.
solves, I would say, give me a guess, 50% of the problems, because you're
well, I think the challenge is the fact that we have two basic authoritative data sources right now and for electronic health records. One for those active military and reservists that are currently in DOD, and then those that are retired and associated with the VA EHR. And so now trying to bring that environment together so that we have a common authoritative data source, functionality that the medical providers can provide support to, I think it's going to be a big benefit for the department as we move forward with this.
And I know we're going to get to the question in a sec, but just one quick follow-up on this. Now, when it comes to the VA DOD sharing of electronic health records, it's already happening to some extent. I know there's several pilots that are going on, the one in Chicago, I think mm-hmm. San Diego. So is that data center being used, or are those servers being used for that purpose, or is this still in the
so those
ramp
pilots
up?
Those pilots are demonstrating. I believe the pilots that we're currently implementing right now are the ability to do information sharing between those data sources. So they're in the infancy stages, but until we, you know, so there's a big architectural initiative right now going on to build that enterprise architecture that will bring them together. But those are the kind of like the initial bedrocks of getting this capability in place. Okay.
We have a question?
Yeah, good morning. Zach mentioned that based on the numbers, you're kind of behind the goal in terms of the number of data centers closing. Can you describe some of the hurdles that are there, and are there any carrots or sticks behind the initiative itself to really motivate CIOs and others to get more data centers closed more quickly?
You know what, I from a customer perspective,
sure.
closing data centers, I can kind of jump in there. I mean, we have great targets for closing our data centers, but you know, this has happened in every single case that we get a customer who comes along, and a big customer says, I can't get out of the data center, you can't move me right now because I have something huge going on, some big, you know, UNGA, you know, the UN General Assembly or something like that we can't touch anything. So that causes us to slip our milestones and our projects. But it doesn't mean that we're not closing the data centers, it just means it's taking us longer to do it than we had initially planned because we can't, you know, we can't corral all those customers and get them moving into the same, you know, schedule. They have their schedules too, so.
And, you know, migration costs money. Sometimes the budget things are pushing things behind. You know, you can say you're gonna move a data center, but until you really get your hands dirty in there and realize what applications are running, you have to decide what's going to go into a tier three.
Right.
And also, you have to have a place ready for those. You know, you have to have a data center ready to receive those applications, too.
Right. And it's not just the data center. It's all the different pieces of the infrastructure that needs to be over on the other side before you can move that system. So we have what we call a system transition plan, STPs, and we go through and we have to work with the customer to make sure that every single thing they're currently using in the data center is on the other side and is up, operational, and tested before we can get them out. So it's really a very complicated process.
If I can add on to Cindy's comment, if I can use an anecdotal example of this, when DLA, Defense Logistics Agency, asked to move their largest ERP, an SAP application, from a commercial facility in Denver, Colorado, to one of our data centers, that was an 18-month effort to understand the complexity, the interfaces associated with that ERP, not only the internal DoD interfaces, but those external relationships that they had with all their partners, and bringing that application over seamlessly and still continue to maintain mission effectiveness. So, you know, 18 months of planning for one weekend of migration is not an easy task. And so compound that with multiple applications that all these agencies and departments have to do, it is not an easy task to just close the data center.
So I gotta ask about this, because this is a fascinating 18 months of planning. Were there times, and I don't know if you're knee deep in it or if you just kind of saw it from an oversight perspective, but were there times when DLA said, we're just not going to do this, we can't do this, this is too hard? Because I think from what just kind of how Cindy has described it, that culture change, that hugging of servers seems to be, again, we're going to we go back to this on every new initiative, it's change, no one likes change. But did you have DLA come back to you and say, we just can't do it?
So no, we did not. And I think there's two reasons why. One is, you know, the economics behind it. They came, and this is a forthcoming customer, a customer coming into us and saying, hey, we'd like to move this application. It is costing us this much a year to maintain a production environment at this commercial facility. What can you do for us? So as a revolving fund organization, I had to figure out what's the best way to do this in a more economic perspective. And we saved them, you know, and I'll just throw numbers out. We saved them probably $2 million a year less, and not only brought in their production, but we brought their development and their test environments over at the same time. So it was significant benefit for the department, for DLA. Second piece of this is, we had to show them, from our perspective, that we understood industrial migrations. We understood how you have to address this. So I think understanding the challenge that we had done many times before, because we've been closing data centers since I came to DISA in 1992, we had the expertise behind it, both from our partners with industry as well as internally, on how we can move applications over. So I think there was a confidence level. That said, you know, we had three mock moves way before that, and each mock move was very complex. And so it was just the experience behind that. So there was a big confidence level.
Is a mock move like a mock fantasy football draft? Do you kind of go through and I'm going to
pick this? You walk through every piece of the migration without actually doing the migration.
And figure out when the...
Absolutely.
And you know, we just had the director of DLA on Federal News Radio just recently. And I'll tell you, he's under a lot of pressure to save money. He said to his staff, I want to save 10% off operations.
That's right.
And 10% off of, it's not maintenance, but it's how they buy their products. So $2 million maybe doesn't sound like a lot to an organization with a huge budget, but it's going to make a huge difference to getting warfighters what they need and when they need it.
$2 million is, sorry if I confused you. So let's say it cost him $50 million to run his production environment in a commercial facility. We charged him $52 million to not only run his production, but we also were running his development and we're running his test environment. Three instances for his one instance.
Okay, so it's cost $2 million more, but...
We got
two
more environments in place. Right. So it was significant for the department, for DLA.
Thanks for clearing that up, because I hear money and math again. Sir.
Jason, Anthony Robbins with Brocade. Zach, one question for you and then a general question for the panel. So one is, we've spent during this, the federal forum for the last 2 days, we've talked a lot about best practices. You've talked about getting best practice input from the agencies. Do you get that from the commercial community as well? That's one question. The second question is, if the federal government followed commercial best practices relative to data center consolidation, your target would be way less than 500 total data centers in the federal government. And I'd be curious as to just some thoughts or comments on that number.
As far as going for a total of 500 data centers across the government, our goal started off as 40%, and that's just a significant improvement over what we have now. I'm not saying we're going for like A+. We're not going to start running Apple data centers right now. I consider this, we have agencies that are pretty well along in this effort, like State Department, We have other agencies that are, you know, more or less starting out. This is to get people in the right direction, start rationalizing. It shouldn't stop, you know, we're not going to close 1,200 data centers and then call this, you know, a victory. Hopefully this gets the ship going in the right direction as far as running things efficiently, you know, upping your utilizations and things like that. With best practices, last year we did have an industry day, and we have a library available to the task force members and the CIOs of white papers from industry that we circulate around, and the library is available. We have it set up in different groups, you know, migration, inventory tracking, and things like that. I still accept white papers, and I put them up there in the library. I can't guarantee anyone's going to respond or you're going to get a response, but if someone's looking to migrate, you know, we send them for help with migration. We send them to that part to look at those industry white papers on best practices with migration.
Is there any thought about maybe another industry day, looking at it from the perspective of you guys did one when the initiative first started, but now 2 years in, maybe it's time for another one? Or let me even throw it beyond Zach. Does Alfred or Cindy, how do you guys look at industry from a perspective of where can we get help or RFIs or such?
We have our industry partners that work with us in the data center right now, and we've created sort of a council for our industry partners where they have agreed to come in and help us when we have issues or problems. And they give it, you know, if we need troubleshooting, they'll gather together the industry partners, or if we're just looking for innovative things and new things in the data center, they've agreed to help us in that area as well. So, you know, we are reaching out to them. I can say that, you know, we're waiting also to just see where the public cloud is going as far as government is concerned. Susan Swart, I think, has said, you know, numerous times that we're going to take the wait and see approach and see how that matures and how security falls out in the public cloud. I mean, today our CIO was at a WikiLeaks meeting right now, so we're still struggling with that. So until we're sure that our information is secure, you know, that's something that we won't be looking at right now. But industry is very geared towards trying to point us in that direction. But I think they've kind of given up with us for the moment.
Well, I think you have a whole crowd here who won't give up on you.
Right. Okay.
But the Council of Partners, I'm interested. Obviously, these are the people you guys have under contract now who you're working with. Do you guys meet regularly? Or is it like, okay, I think we should call a meeting because we have a challenge?
Yeah, we call a meeting. It's as needed. So
okay. And can you give us any kind of insight? Do they last an hour or 2 hours? Or are they just... It all depends on the topic.
It's usually an hour, but it does depend on the topic and the situation at hand.